Mikra on Shabbos. If they're going to Mikra on Yontif, they won't have a higher of Shemesh. So if anybody is tummy goes to the Mikveh, becomes Tahor with respect to eating Maisa Sheni, but not with respect to eating Truman. With respect, let's say he goes to the Mikveh 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Teta Kavavim is what time? 6:20 or so? 6:30, 6:20. He has to wait to eat Truman, he has to wait till Teta Kavavim the following. Whenever he goes to Mikveh, even if he waits a week after, he could have got to Mikveh last week, if he waited, Hirish Shemesh six times over. Hirish Shemesh has to follow the going to the Mikveh. Whenever the person goes to Mikveh, he has to wait till the Hirish Shemesh following. So if he's going to go to Mikveh on Yom Tov, that is Nishalfen, goes to Mikveh on Yom Tov, have to wait till Tzeis comes. When is he going to enter the Azor? So they're going to be after Yom Tov. When is he going to eat the Korbanos? When is he going to enter the Azor? So this is obvious. He has to go to Mikveh before Yom Tov. He's going to go Leil Yom Tov. Technish, he's going to have to have Hirish Shemesh Matzah Yom Tov. So on this, the whole Yom Tov, he won't be tar. So this, for sure, he has to go to Mikveh before Yom Tov begins. But the Shad is, what if Shabbos is on Erev Yom Tov? Is it enough if he goes to Mikveh on Shabbos, or does he have to go to Mikveh on Erev Shabbos? What's the Shaila? Whether he has to go to Mikveh on Erev Shabbos? So the Machlek is, Bisham and Bisilal is, this Gzeret de Rabbana, that you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim Tumeim on Shabbos and Yom Tov, does it only apply to Kalim Tumeim? Does it also apply to people who are Tomei? Is there an Issa Derabbanan for an Odom Tomei to go to Mikvah on Shabbos or Yom Tov? So that's the Machlokes. Chali is Achar HaShabbos, if Yom Tov falls out on a Sunday, not an Erev Tavshil case, the opposite. The Erev Tavshil was Yom Tov falls out on a Friday. Here's the Chbaker. Yom Tov falls out on a Sunday and he wants to be Tohar with a higher of Shemesh L'Kavod Yom Tov. Is it necessary to go to Mikveh all the way on Erev Shabbos, or can he go on Shabbos? There is a Machloekes Satanoim where the Shabbos next to Yom Tov in either direction is Kedusha Achas or not. We pass Kedusha Kedushas. But even if it's Kedusha Achas, I still don't see what you're angling for over here. I don't get what's the
relevance. You go to the Mikveh Erev Shabbos, whatever the purpose of the
if he goes Erev Shabbos, for sure it's taken care of. Yeah, for sure. But there won't be. But it'll still be good if he goes on Shabbos. If he goes on Shabbos, also be satisfied. On Shabbos, he doesn't have to be Torah. He just has to be Torah on Yom Tov. That's the assumption over here. Is it required to go on Erev Shabbos? No, it's not required to go. That's not why it's required to go on Erev Shabbos. Is Mutar on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov? They say, well, I mean, when we pass the Bishilah, it's not so. Kalim have to be Tovel in the Mikveh, Milifnei HaShabbos. But Adam B'Shabbos, and Adam Tomei, and they go to the Mikveh on Shabbos. And now is the Shaila in the Gemara. According to the Beis Shammai, that you neither allowed to be Tovel Kalim Tomei, nor Adam Tomei, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, some Mistama, the reason why is because the second money. He has a Kli that's Tomei, and Adam that's Tomei, he has certain limitations, restrictions. Person goes to the Mikveh, the Kalim or the Tovel in the Mikveh, no more restrictions. So that's Mamish Mesakin Money. So that's Beis Shammai, we understand. The issue that we don't understand fully is Bishilah. Why did the Bishilah make a compromise? Why do they say that Kalim, you're not allowed to be Tevil, and Adam you're allowed to? So that's what the Gemara asks right away. The Kuli Alma, this they all agree. Kuli Alma, Mios, Kalim, Bishabbos, Loi. Even the Bishilah will say that Adam, Tommy, may be Tevil on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but Kalim not. So that's the Shaila within the Bishilah. My time, and what's the reason for the Bishilah? Bishamid, they never asked the question. That's what the Yeshua and the Spasemis and others, I think the Tzlach, a few others, they all point out. There's the Shver Rashi over here. Rashi writes around 10 lines from the top. The time of the Tfilah Surim Shem the Nirikim Misakim Kli. Rashi says on the top of Yud Chesam and Alten, 10 lines from the top. The reason why you're not allowed to be Taiba because Misakim Kli. So they all ask, the Marsha and the Maram, they all ask, what does Rashi say Misakim Kli? The Gemara has a Machlekes, a four way Machlekes. What's the reason why you're not allowed to be Taiba? So Rashi jumps right away, gives you the fourth reason. What about, he's talking within the first mandama. Yeah. What happened, the first, the second, and the third? How does Rashi jump all of a sudden to say there's Misakamana? So that's what they all point out. The later Achronim point out, Rashi means within the Beis Shammai. Within Beis Shammai, everybody agrees that the reason for the prohibition to be toivel kalim is because misakamona. But then the Beis Hillel, we're not sure. My time at the Beis Hillel, the Gemara wants to know. According to the Beis Hillel, the tvilas kalim is us and tvilas adam is mutter. Why do you distinguish between adam and kalim? Why shouldn't they both be misakamona? That's what the Gemara is going to have the whole discussion. So the why? There is a din of mitzaken on adam. The Mishnah says that if a doctor, let's say, treats a patient with a broken arm and he fixes it, so that is mitzaken. That is mitzaken. Rashi on that Mishnah has 2 days, whether it's bona or mitzaken mana. If it's bona, so the Mishnah says it's bona by adam, because it says in Parshas Bereishis, by even Hashem Elokim is Hatzela. So the Gemara learns out in that pasuk that there is binyan by adam. So Rashi writes two pshatim on that Mishnah when it says a doctor treats a patient, if it's pikuach nefesh, he's about to do whatever's necessary, but that's not pikuach nefesh. And he heals a wound, so it says it's a malacha. So one pshat in Rashi is in his bona. The other pshat is no, ain't binyan b'kelim. Binyan is only if it's mechubal a character. How can it be? It's like Gorach and Kelim. So the other pshat in Rashi is not bina, but it's rather misakim mona. So the assumption is that you can have misakim mona deraisa. This is not the Sakamon of the Rice. This is clearly only a topic of the Rabbanim. Tvila and Mikveh is only the Sakamon of the Rabbanim. No, right away when he's Tovel, it becomes Tohor for purposes of eating Maisa Sheni. Or let's say a woman goes to the Mikveh, so right away she's in the Taris Labaila. She doesn't have to wait till Ha'ir Shemesh. You have to wait till nighttime following. Whenever you table, you have to wait till Harav Shem Shifter. That's for the purpose of entering the Beis HaMikdash, or eating Karbanos, or eating Truma. You need Harav Shem Shifter. But for Chulin, to eat Maisa Sheni is considered Chulin, or Labaila, to be Muteris Labaila is right away Muter. You don't have to have a Harav Shem Shifter for that. So the Beis Shammai hold that Tvilas Olam, Tvilas Kelim, everything is Misakin. There's Misakin Mona on a Mona. Mona is a Kli. There's Misakin Mona on a Kli. And there's Misakin Mona on an Odom. But the Gemara says that there is a malacha in doing a bris on Shabbos, and you're only allowed to perform a bris on Shabbos and Mila Dizmani. Mila Shalot Dizmani are not allowed to. So there are different opinions in Rishonim. What is the malacha? So some Rishonim say the malacha involved in a bris Mila is that it's Misakin Mona. That's how some Rishonim read the Gemara on Shabbos on Daf Kuf Zayin. The Gemara says, Mali Lisakim Sila, Mali Lisakim Mila. So some Rishonim say that it's a Malacha Misakim Mona. Others say that it's a Malacha of Gozes. It's like cutting off fingernails that don't belong. You take a haircut, you cut off the extra hair. If you cut off a finger, that's not Misakim Mona. But if you cut off something that doesn't belong, you cut off a wart, you cut off something that's supposed to be removed. So by Jewish baby, if you cut off the Orla, that's Gozes. Do mila. If you do mila on a Goyish baby, then it goes there. But if you do mila on a Yiddish baby that's supposed to be removed, so then some Rishonim say that goes there. Yeah, some Rishonim say it's Misakin Mona. Now he's allowed to eat Karban Pesach. Before he had the bris mila, he wasn't allowed to eat Karban Pesach. So he's Salech Lufanai Ve'yei Samin. You have a bris mila, it's Misakin Mona. So some say Misakin Mona, some say it's a Malacha of Gozes, and some say it's a Malacha of Kotzer. Different suggestions. Usually assume that it's a malacha of chovel, because it bleeds. Usually we assume it's a malacha of chovel. It's not misakin mush. There's different opinions. Anyway, so that's the shayla within Beis Hillel. The Gemara is asking, why did the Beis Hillel make a distinction between tvilas kelim and tvilas adam? That the gzeira d'rabbanan was only introduced on tvilas kelim and not on tvilas adam. Halacha l'maaseh, that's how we pass from like the Beis Hillel. Women go to mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. According to the Beis Shammai, woman is not allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't follow Beis Shammai. We follow Beis Hillel. The Shai is maybe even according to Beis Hillel, you shouldn't be allowed to go. We'll have to see. We'll have to see the whole Gemara. The Vilna Goyen holds up Zlaloch, the women, Bizman is there, not allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I don't know what Mrs. Vilna Goyen held, but her husband held that you're not allowed to. Rabbi Vilna Goyen held that the women are not allowed to go. Can't go to mikveh, you're not allowed. There's no mitzvah. Okay, mitzvah is only if she's tired. Okay. But here the Gemara has four reasons for the Beisilov. My time, why the Beisilov distinguish between Tfilas Kelim and Tfilas Adam? So the first reason is Omar Rabbi Gzeir Hashem Yeklenu B'yodah B'Avarena Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRabim. This Rabbi is very famous. Rabbi, we know. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to read the Megillah. Purim falls out on Shabbos. By Yos Purim never falls out on Shabbos. But Shushan Purim, sometimes by Yos Purim falls out on Friday and Shushan Purim is on Shabbos. The Shabbos when Shushan Purim falls out on Shabbos, and Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah. The Old City, Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah on Shushan Purim. So when do they read the Megillah? On Shabbos? And the Mishnah says, no, you're not allowed to read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not? So Rabbi says, Exer Hashem Yavirena Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRabbi. We're afraid he may forget and carry. When Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, we don't allow you to blow Shofar. We're afraid he'll carry the Shofar. When Sukkot falls down on Shabbos, we don't allow you to shake the lulav. So he says over here also, we're afraid. You can't say a person is not allowed to be toivel on Shabbos. He may walk to the mikveh. Walk to the bed. Walk away to one. There's no... What, he's going to start getting undressed as he's walking to the mikveh?
Yeah.
He's got to start taking off his hat and his jacket. He doesn't get undressed until he's there already. Neither the men nor the women. No one starts taking off their clothes on the way. So there's no chashash that he's going to take off his clothes. So a person, there's no problem of carrying. So the civil say they're allowed to be toivel in the mikveh on Shabbos Yontem. The only reason why they forbid you to be toivel kelim is because he may forget and carry the kelim. That's what Rabbi says. And the Gemara gave that back a whole discussion of Rabbi until you get 10 lines from the bottom. We'll go through the whole discussion. Then you go 10 lines from the bottom. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef disagrees. What kind of Gzeirah Shemi Yavirenu? And all the other Gemaras, it says it differently. Rabbi Omar, Hakol Chayovim B'Tkiyah Shofar, Ben Hakol Dikiyah. Everybody's Mechuyif to hear Shofar, not everybody knows how to blow the Shofar. So Gzeirah Shemi Yavirenu, Shemi Yelech Etzel Boki, V'Yavirenu Dalar Amis B'Shusram. In his eagerness to go fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, he has to hit Tkiyas. Everybody, everybody has to shake a lulav. Not everybody knows which direction. Not everybody knows how to say the bracha. So we're afraid in his eagerness to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, he may carry the lulav on Shabbos and to the chacham and ask how he's supposed to do it, and he'll forget that he was carrying. But over here, what do you mean? Everyone is b'chiyuv to be tayvul all the kevna Thomas said, Brenton shall be tayvul it tomorrow. Yeah. What are you so concerned he's going to carry on Shabbos? Whoever has a mikveh in his basement will be tayvul. Whoever has a mikveh far away will not be tayvul the kevim on Shabbos. So it's not so compelling. You can hold like Rabbi in all the other cases by lulav and by shofar and by megillah. You don't have to subscribe to Rabbi's pshat over here. It's not the same gzeir Hashem yavaren over here. You can't say hakol chayovim that he's in a behal and he's a rush and he has to do the mitzvah today and he's going to forget the back end. No rush. He has plenty of time to think about it. So that's why the other Amoraim agree with Rabbi in the other cases, but they're not masking over here. So Rabbi Yosef Amar, 10 lines on the bottom. Yosef gives a different reason. He's afraid if you're going to be tabled the clothing or the sheets in the mikveh, it's going to absorb all the water. So you're afraid he's going to start squeezing out the water on Shabbos and Yom. You're not allowed to squeeze out the water on Shabbos and Yom. The Frank the Gemara is squeezing out. And what if it's forks and knives? What if it's pots and pans? There's nothing to squeeze out. Everything you tell them in the mikveh, you squeeze out. If it's clothing, you'll squeeze out. Huh? Drying is not a problem. What do you mean? The towel. When I dry out the forks and the knives, I'll squeeze out the towel. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara asked the question. Rabbi Yosef says that the reason why Beis Hillel distinguished between Kalim and Adam is because by the Adam there's nothing to squeeze, and by the Kalim the clothing there is to squeeze. By the Adam there's nothing to squeeze. I can squeeze this hair out. You can squeeze the hair out. So obviously squeezing the hair is not an issur deraisa. The Gemara says ain't tchita b'seh. The Gemara says it's mutter to squeeze out the hair. And that Gemara Shabbos there's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. The Sam Rishayim says that it's mutter and atar to squeeze out the hair on Shabbos also in the Rambam. Other Mishnayim say, even with the Rabbanan, it's Musa. So someone else says, with the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to squeeze out there. But you're not allowed to, you can't make it there. We don't allow people to go to Mikvah on Shabbos because they may squeeze out the hair. And even if he squeezes out the hair, the worst of the violation is an Issa the Rabbanan. So you can't make Xera the Xera. We forbid you to be terrible in the Mikvah, lest you forget to squeeze out your hair, which itself is only an Issa the Rabbanan. You can't make such Xera the Xera. So that's Rav Yosef Shita. He says, if you table begodim, if you table towels and sheets and trousers,
you
may come to squeeze that's a nisa deraisa, so then we don't allow you to be table kalim. But tefillah sadam, there's no zera shem yischot. That's Rav Yosef's pshat. Oh? Right, so the Mishnah in the end of Shabbos has a machlokes hatanoim. So one Tana says we're worried about that. So one Tana says you're not allowed. You have to go with other people. One Tana says if there are other people around, they'll remind each other not to squeeze out the towel. But a person on his own, let's say, a lot of times I dry my hands off in a towel, and 100 people just washed. If I'm the last one to eat, I'll shoot it, and 100 people washed before me. Towel is sopping wet, so there's a chash, I may squeeze out the towel. So one Tana says you're not allowed to use such a towel because you may squeeze it out. And we paskin that even 100 people can use the towel, the zahazen, there's not there, the rabba. You're not allowed to squeeze it out, but not chashish that anyone is going to squeeze it. We paskin that there's no zera. So Rabbi Yosef claims over here there's a zera. We don't allow you to be table the godim on Shabbos because he may forget and squeeze it out. That makes sense by sheets and by clothing with his what the schizat. What about forks and knives and glasses? Should be the same as Adam. So why shouldn't that be permissible? He says, no, we don't allow you to be table any kelim because some of the kelim we're afraid you're going to squeeze out, so we don't allow you to be table any of the kelim. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Biyamar, a third reason, why is there a difference between Tfilas Adam and Tfilas Kalim? So he says, people are busy a whole week long, they work for a living, they have no time to take all the Kalim to the mikveh. So if you'll allow Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos and Yontif, everybody will wait till Shabbos and Yontif when they have work, and then they'll take it, let's say there's an Erev, there's no problem carrying, there's an Erev, and they'll take all the Kalim to the mikveh. So we are afraid this may cause a problem. If somebody has Trum in the house, and he'll forget that this pot or this glass is tummy, he'll put the truma in the glass, and the truma will become tummy. Truma that's tummy and not allowed to eat. It's an averit. Even if a coin eats, it's an averit eater. Or even if it's not truma, let's say it's chulin. He'll put the chulin in, the chulin will become tummy, and somebody will eat it, so he'll become tummy without realizing it. He won't be able to add to the Beis HaMikdash to eat the Maaseh Sheni and so on. So that's what the Rabbibi suggests, Shai. That we don't allow you to be table kelim on Shabbos Yontif because we are afraid Zera Shema Yasheh, we are afraid that he may postpone, he may delay Tfilas kelim till Shabbos Yontif, and it may come out of Takola. It may come out, he will forget that it was Tameh, and he'll put the food on it, and the food will become Tameh. It sounds like a strange reason, Zera Shema Yasheh. Mar says, from all the reasons so far, the third reason, Tanya Kavasa de Rabbi. There's a braisa that said, one of the Tanaim says the famous like Rav Bibi. Tanya Kavase de Rav Bibi. There's a braisa that says, Klisha Nitmam the heir of Yontif, Neymat Tila Mosa Yontif, Zera Shema Yasha. We don't allow you to be Tel Kelim at Yontif, because we're afraid he may postpone Tvilas Kelim till Yontif, and he'll forget and he'll come out of Mishnah. That's the third reason. So why don't you make the Zera? They're all coming to explain Basilu. Why did Basil distinguish between Tfilas Adam and Tfilas Kelim? They say Tfilas Adam, Tfilas Kelim is a pain in the neck. He has to schlep the Kelim to the mikveh for all major production. So he won't do it in the weekdays. He's busy. He runs to Shachris, he runs to the office, he runs home, he has no time. Shabbos Yontif has a lot of time, then he'll go to the mikveh. So it's there, it may come with the mikveh. Adam, people take a shower anyway. People walk around. They don't have to schlep anything in a day. The Adam will jump into the mikveh in the middle of the mikveh. Go in, he'll go out, and Friday he'll take. So the Gzeri Shema Yasha only applies to Caleb. The Gzeri Shema Yasha doesn't apply to Adam. Both Tfilas Adam and Tfilas Caleb. The second one, whoever is talking about the mikveh. What did Adam tell me or Caleb to make? But the Basilu who distinguished between Adam and Caleb also agreed the same reason as the Bishamai. That is Misakin Mana. But they hold that the concern of Misakin Mana is only on Caleb. On Adam there's no Misakin Mana. Why not? That's the Moshe. Why not? If it's Misakin Mana, so the Bishamai are right. If it's Xer Shema Yavi Rena Dalad Amis, the person who walks in the street, there's no Shashem Yavi Rena. The person is allowed to walk. If it's a gzera, what was the other shema yischot? So there's no schita. This says schita b'seir is only the rabbanim maximum. So there's no chashash. If it's shema yashem, The whole question that we asked, the whole Lama Gemara, was to explain the difference between Adam and Kenim. How do you explain it? Aren't they Shammai, right? And for the Gemara, no. Adam Nira Kineka. When you take a Kli and you shovel it in the mikveh, normally you have dirty dishes. So where do you wash the dishes? Dishwasher. Wash dishes in the sink. Wash in the sink. You don't take the dishes down the block to the mikveh to wash the dishes. If you take it down the block to the mikveh, look, it's obvious. But in Adam, sometimes a person takes a shower in his home. Sometimes he's away for shops, takes a shower over there. Sometimes takes a shower in the office. There's a shower in the office. Sometimes he takes a shower somewhere else. Wherever he goes swimming, he takes a shower over there where they have a swimming pool, takes a shower some other place. So an Adam goes into the mikveh, so it's not so bold, it's not so conspicuous that he's in the second one. Lyric and make, it looks like he wants to cool off. But Caleb, if he's going to take the Caleb down the block to the mikveh, that's a dead giveaway that looks like the second one. So then the Gemara continues on the topic. Really? That's the reason why Tfilas Adam is different. Tfilas Adam is mutter, because it's nearer Kimeka, it looks like he wants to cool off. Break the Gemara. Oh, Tainach, this is only Micha. This is a good explanation. Might be often, if the mikveh is clean water. What if once in a while you have a mikveh that's not so clean water? Nira Kimeka? It's obviously a religious ceremony that no normal person would go into that dirty water. So that's Nira Kimisaken. What kind of Nira Kimeka? It doesn't look like he wants to cool off. And for the Gemara, that's the most kasha. This is a good explanation. Might be often, if the mikveh is clean water. What if the water is dirty? Yitzchak says still. Sometimes Shadam Bobasherev. Sometimes a man comes in the heat in the summertime and he's off Hashvitz. And he'll be happy to cool off in dirty water also. He just wants to cool off, not interested in cleaning off. If he wants to remove the dirt, so you don't remove the dirt. You won't succeed in removing the dirt by going into dirty water. But if you're off Hashvitz, you want to cool off, he'll be happy to use dirty water also. Sometimes it's hot in the summer, Verecha Tafila B'mei Mishra. Even if it's mamish smelly water that it was soaking flax in, as long as it's something cool. Trek the Gemara, that's a good explanation. Summertime. What if it's the winter time? What if it's freezing and he goes and he has to chop the ice and he goes into the mikveh? It's obvious that it's a religious ceremony. How can you say Nira Kimeka? How can you explain this away? It's obvious that it's a Masakin Mona. How can the Bisul say Mutter? Trek the Gemara, Tenach, the Moisachama, the whole explanation you gave is only good in the summertime. How do you explain in the wintertime when it's freezing? And for the Gemara, well, sometimes the person was doing work a whole day and he's all dirty, even in the wintertime, and he wants to wash off the dirt. If he did work in the field, he's filthy. Sometimes even in the wintertime, he wants to wash off. Beg the Gemara, come on, there's nothing, never give Molta Echi. By the way, Shabbos is make carry, dirty, whatever. How do you going to explain away Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, people don't take a bath on Yom Kippur, Rechitz is one of the Hamisha Inuyim. So how come the din is that on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to bathe the body to clean off or anything, but you are allowed to go to mikveh? If anybody's tummy, you're allowed to go to mikveh. Taisa says that Bizman Azeh, the women don't go to mikveh. On Yom Kippur, Taisa says like this, The Bizman is that the women don't go, strictly speaking, you're allowed to go to mikveh, a woman is allowed to go to mikveh on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur. So Taisa says, well, Tisha B'Av, there's Hashanah. Taisa quotes the Yerushalmi, it's Hamikdash here, the first white line in the Taisa is Kol Chavit Tfilos. The Taisa quotes, Kedai hu beis elakein ala abed olav tfil achas b'Hashanah. Shami says that the Hamikdash was chav, such a tragedy. And let the woman cry a little bit. Let her wait to go to mikveh a day later. Let her not go to mikveh. Because she's also b'tashma shamita anyway on Tisha B'Av. So what's the rush to go to mikveh on Leil Tisha B'Av? She'll go Matzoi Tisha B'Av. So let her wait another day. Yeah, but what do you explain on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not a tragedy. If that's the whole explanation, that we should all observe Avelis over the Chubim Beis HaMikdash and be machma, not to go, even though strictly speaking is mutter. So we machma like that opinion in Yerushalmi. How does that explain Yom Kippur? So then Taisus finally explains like this. Bizman Azeh, the only people who go to mikveh are the Hasidim. Okay. Taisus, the Mishkahat Ken Hasidim. That Hasidi Ashkenaz, that was a different. Hasidi Ashkenaz, they were machma and everything. It's a different group of Hasidim. So the women go to mikveh. So the only purpose of mikveh today is not for eating truma, and not for eating korbanos, and not for makriv zayin korban, only for hetar labayla. So to go to mikveh at a time that the person is going to be also labayla, Tisha B'Av Yom Kippish is also labayla. The whole purpose of tefillah b'zman hazeh is only labayla. So let's say single girls, we don't allow to go to mikveh, because the only purpose of going to mikveh b'zman hazeh is for hetar labayla. The woman is not married. Or let's say we had in Tannersville, there was a woman, a girl went to Beis Yaakov in New York, and she didn't find the shidduch, so she got older, she couldn't find the shidduch, so she married a goy. She used to go to mikveh every month. She lived in upstate New York. So when they caught on that the woman is married to a goy, so they wouldn't let her use the mikveh, so she started using a different mikveh. Till they caught on. Then she finally came to Tannersville, she wanted to use the mikveh there. So people in Tannersville heard a rumor. So it goes, man, it's a rumor. So what, they're not mechuyev to check into it. But then the woman said, she told the mikveh lady she's married to a goy. And she observes Taras on the Shabbat. She goes to the mikveh every day. So if she tells you that she's living with a goy, you may not let her use the mikveh. If you know the person, the only purpose of mikveh bizman is to be mata labayla. And you know that you're not allowed to, because she's single, or because today's Yom Kippur, because today's Tisha B'Av. Let's say the husband is in the middle of Shiva. That's a shailin din. Let's say the woman, it's time for her to go to mikveh, and her husband is in the middle of Shiva, so she can't be with her husband anyway today. So do you say she doesn't have a heter labailo, so she's not allowed to go to mikveh? So you say, no, she has a heter labailo. The husband doesn't have a heter ishta. She has a heter. So that's a shaila. That's a shaila. The Maram Shik has a tshuva about that. It's interesting. Rav Shlomo Breuer was a Talmud of the Maharam Shik. So when he was engaged, and he was going through Hilchas Nida, so this Shaila was Nasara by him, so he sent the Shaila to his Rebbe. He has a tshuva in Chelik Yerodeh on this Shaila. I don't remember what the Psak is, the Shaila is in it, the Santa Shaila. So the premise is based on this thesis that Bizman HaZeh is a different story. Bizman HaZeh, we only allow the only people who go to Mikvah Labayla, so we only allow such people to go to Mikvah which it's going to accomplish a Heter Labayla right now. But in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amoraim, they went to mikveh for the purpose of eating truma. They went to mikveh for other purposes also. The single people used to go to mikveh also in the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, in order to eat truma.
Not to be mitamin anybody in the
house. Those who were eating truma, yeah. So Bizman HaGemara, they did go to mikveh on Yom Kippur. People, strictly speaking, the Gemara says, you're allowed to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur to be Torah. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, if you're telling me that the reason why you're allowed to go to mikveh according to Beis Hillel, the reason why Odom is permitted to be tovel in a mikveh on Shabbos is because it's not so conspicuous. That it's misakin mana. Why? Maybe he's dirty, maybe he's hot, maybe he's perspired, maybe this, maybe that. How can you explain anything on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, frek di gemar, ma'ika le'meimer, how can you explain it? It's obvious that it's a religious ritual, the person is tovel in the mikveh. Is that right, misakin mana? That's the gemar's kasha. And for the Gemara, so the Gemara goes into a whole debate over here. So the Gemara answers, the only time the Beis Hillel prohibit tefillah in the mikveh is if it's nireh, if it's mechzik and mesakein under all circumstances. So since on Shabbos, if a person goes to mikveh, it's not so noticeable. Maybe he's fashvitzed, maybe he's dirty, maybe he's hot, he wants to cool off, all the various suggestions. So you can't say that on Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur it is bolek, but to do the same activity on Yom Kippur as on Shabbos, and on Shabbos it would be mutter. So even though on Yom Kippur it's conspicuous that it's l'shem tikkun mana, you can't say that it's also, because it wouldn't always be conspicuous. If you do the same pool on Shabbos, it would not be conspicuous. Even on Yom Kippur it is conspicuous, it's still mutter. That's how the Gemara says. Then the Gemara goes into a machlokes abai v'rava, whether that svar is a svar or not. Whenever the Chachamim prohibited something, only if it's conspicuous. So what if, like refuah, one is not permitted to take medication on Shabbos? So let's say the person is basically healthy, but he has some slight ache and pain. So then you're not allowed to take any medication. So let's say a person only takes schnapps when he has a cold. When he's healthy, he doesn't take. So when he takes schnapps, everybody knows that he has a cold. So you say he's not allowed to take schnapps. No, other people take schnapps all the time. Let's say he only eats certain michel when he's sick. Soup. He only has chicken soup when he's sick. But other people have chicken soup when they're not sick also. So just because by him it's nikir, that's not called the refuah hanikaris. In order to ask the refuah, has to be mamish refuah hanikaris. They only ask the gzer, the rabban, and refuah Only if it's done in such a way that it would be nikkur, it would be noticeable for everybody. Okay, but let's say the doctor's prescription was to have chicken soup. So then, even though there was a prescription, it's still mutter to have schnapps. It's still mutter to take the schnapps on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because other people take schnapps. It's a Michael Bream. Other people take schnapps even when they're not sick. So the only time they ask a refu is when it's a refu honey keres. So the Gemara has a machlokes abai v'rava. What if the person is taking the applying something, medication, something, in such a way that it's nikkur, that it's l'shem refuah, but if he would have done it an hour earlier, would not have the nikkur, because he does it an hour later. Instead of doing it before the meal, he did it after the meal. So if he would have done it before the meal, it would have not been nikkur, that it's l'shem refuah. Now that he does it after the benching, now it's nikkur, that it's l'shem refuah. So the Gemara says, that's a machlokes abai v'rava, is that called nikkur, and that's osur, or is it not called nikkur? Exact same pula done at a different time of the day before the meal would not be nikkur. After the meal is nikkur. So he said that that's called osa because now it's nikkur. He said no, the same pula could have been done earlier would not be nikkur. So felt this in the hekera. That's the same shayla over here. To be toivel, Adam will be toivel in the mikvah yom kippur is absolutely nikkur. He's not being toivel to take a bath, and he's not being toivel to cool off, and he's not being toivel to wipe off the perspiration or anything. He's tabled for religious purposes, it's Mesak Mana, so it's Nikr that he's Mesak and Mana. But the exact tefillah, if it would have been done on Shabbos, would have not been Nikr. So that's a Shabbos. The same pula done on Shabbos would be Mutter, and Yom Kippur, you're going to say it's Nikr, so it's also, you say, no, that's not enough of a Nikr. Whenever there's an Issa, that the Rabbanon, that an Issa, the Raisa, never depends on being Nikr. Whenever you have a Gzera, the Rabbanon, that only applies when something is Nikr, it's only if it's noticeable and conspicuous at all times. If done another time, it wouldn't be noticeable, so maybe then it's not going to be. So that's a machlokes samarot. So just to review, b'kitzer, the Mishnah says that there is an Issa derabbanan again on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to be table kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What about tefillas adam? Is a machlokes b'sham and b'sul. So b'sham, I say tefillas adam the same as tefillas kelim. Everything is forbidden. What's the gzeira? So Rashi seems to assume. That's easy, Misakin Mana. Bishama is easy to understand. Misakin Mana. Misakin Mana on Oda, Misakin Mana on Kalim, Shai. It's only the Rabbana, it's not a Misakin Mana. The Raisa, easy. The Shail is we don't paskin like Bishama. We paskin obviously like the Bishilo. The Tvilas Kalim is forbidden, only Tvilas and Tvilas Adam is permissible. So that's the Gemara Shaila. My timer. How in the world do you explain that split? Misakin Mana should follow, should be also both by Adam and Kalim. The first mandama gave Gzeri Shemi Yavirenu. Rabbi says, Gzeri Shemi Yavirenu, who'll carry the kelim? He's not Shash, will carry. What, he's going to walk? People can walk in the street. But he may carry the kelim. The Gemara has 10 kasha. They say, no, that's Rabbi Sheet. The next is Rabbi Yosef says, he's afraid he's going to squeeze out the clothing. The Gemara says, but not everything you table can you squeeze out. The Gemara says, no, that's part of the Gzeri. The next mandama is strange, gives a strange reason, but they have a brisa that backs him up. They didn't have to back up Rabbi Rav Yosef. That sounded good without any support. Rabbi is not there and Rav Yosef is not there. Rabibi sounds very schwach. So he said, no. Tanya Kavasa de Rabibi. There's even a brisa that says, there's probably a brisa that says like Rabbi Rav Yosef also, but they didn't have to quote it. It said, makes sense. But Rabibi sounds a hinktunta bissel, so he gave support. Tanya Kavasa de Rabibi. Zerishem Yasha. But the Kalim are afraid he'll take his time and it may come the day Takola. And then the fourth one was Rava. Rava says, well, you have to give a different reason. The reason for the Gzera de Rabbanon, not allowed to be Tevil Kalim is Vaita Mishum Misakin, but it's only Merzik in Misakin, not Misakin Mone. It's a Merzik in Misakin if it's Nikr. If it looks like Tikkun Mone. So Tvila Sodom is not so conspicuous. Tvila Sodom is not conspicuous. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. That Bizman Hazeh is Exeris HaBalonim. There's a Mishnah we learned a few years ago when we learned Shabbos, in the third parish of Shabbos. Balon is a bathhouse attendant. So in the days of the Tanan, they used to have a practice. The Balonim, the bathhouse attendants, were not so learned, not so intelligent, not so learned. So some of them are not such upkeep, and the people that weren't such shemishams. So the people used to want to come to the bathhouse, take a bath on Shabbos, take a bath on Yom Tov. So they used to cook the water on Shabbos. Not allowed to cook the water on Shabbos. So they said, we cooked it on Erev Shabbos and we maintained the heat. So they used to tell a lie. They cooked it on Shabbos. So the Chachamim saw that there's no way to get them to stop. So they said, you're not allowed to take a bath on Shabbos, even if the water was cooked on Erev Shabbos. Even if it's true, you're not allowed to take a bath. So there's a machlokes hatanoim and the gzeiros habalonim. This gzeira that they made, did they only make a gzeira that you're not allowed to take a hot bath? What about to take a cold bath or to take a cold shower? So there's one opinion in the Tanoim, even a cold shower you're not allowed.
Look,
they had to ask everything, a gzeira. They had to ask everything because of the bath asa. Yeah. So even though we don't pass like that Tana, the Feirish, we don't pass like that Tana, the Mordechai quotes the Balei HaTesis, they were machme for that Tana. They knew the din is not so. Minig developed the different kinds of minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Sometimes the minhagim are that Yechoshish for a shita that was never accepted, because sof kol sof there was a Tana held like that. So the Balei HaTesis had a minig that you don't even take a cold bath on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of Rav Shimon's shita. There was one Tana that you're not allowed to. So that's the minig in the last several centuries. That's the minig. Unless, let's say, a person is, you have 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, and we always take showers all the time. In the days of Balatas, it took a shower once a month. But today, people take showers every day, every couple of days. People shower all the time. So it's very uncomfortable. So the Paskim wrote in Europe 100 years ago that Bizman Hazer, that people shower more often. So if a person is very fashvitz and it's 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, he can be makel to take a cold shower. A cold shower. But the Vilna Gaon lived before that period. So he lived at a time that the minig was that nobody bathed at all. So he says, Bizman Hazeh, if a person is summoned, if a woman is going to go to the mikveh on Shabbos or Yom Tov, is Mechzikim Misakin? What are you going to say? Nira Kemekar? We don't allow it. The minig is we don't allow anybody to sit, even in cold water, we don't allow it. So because of our chumrah that we don't allow even a cold shower, cold bath, so it comes out that anybody's going to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to be a dead giveaway. It's a religious ceremony. It's Misakin Mana. So the Vilna Gaon says that Bizmana Zeh, even you're not allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Most of the poskim disagree. They say, oh, but Bizmana Gemara, they never asked it. So what do we have to make new chumras? We have to make a new issa. The Heilige Tanaim, Bishilo didn't ask it, Tfilas came, whatever. They only asked the Tfilas came, they never asked the Tfilas Adam. The reason why they never asked it no longer makes sense. Bizman Hazeh, you can't say Nirikim Maker. But Sof Kol Sof, Bishilo never asked it. So the other Achayim say, what do we have to come up with a new chum? And the Vilna Gaon says, no. The only reason why the Bishilo say it's permissible because it's not Nikr. But Bizman Hazeh that it's Nikr, that it's for a religious ceremony. So it's Vaita Mechzikim Misakin, so you're not allowed to. That's the Machlokes Halacha L'Maaseh. Okay. Yeah, and today's Seder in the beginning of Parshas Pikudei, the Chumash counts every penny that the people donated to the Meleches HaMishkan. Yeah, Rashi quotes there. So, that there was a question, where did all the money go to?
Yeah.
The Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara, when the Gemara wants to talk about honest people, so the Gemara has a lotion, Moshe and Aaron. The Gemara says, two brothers are apostolates. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't think that brothers are apostolates because there's a hashash mishaker, that they may go into cahoots together to tell a lie. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, we're not afraid they're going to lie. So the Gemara says, Akzeres HaMelech. The Rebbeinu Shalom Gemach Takzeva, that two brothers cannot testify. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a very honest person. He's considered the typical B'chol Beisi Nemonhu. He's the most honest person. And nonetheless, if he's dealing with tzedakah money, he has to give an account. He gives an account where every penny went. The Torah is writing this that we should know that when people are handling with kolish money, everything should be open above board. Yeah, the psukim say we had it in the Haftarah last week, in the Haftarah for Parsha Shkolim. So it says when the Kohanim used to take all the money to the Beis Hamikdash, so they didn't give any accounting. They trusted them, but then it says they fell in. Then they said after years. Everybody was giving the money, and there was nothing there. They weren't taking care of the Beis Hamikdash. They went back to the old system. No more trusting the Gaboim that they should take care. The Halacha says that the Gaboim, everything has to, they have to have books and they have to keep a record. It's a big chil Hashem. We live in a generation where we have the Gaboim are not on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, and they don't give any account, and they say that they're above reproach and above checking, and all the money is disappearing. We have to go back to the old system to do like Moshe Rabbeinu, to show Eilat Kudi Amish, and you have to show where all the money
Show how much everything costs. Show all the bills. Show all the checks. And keep record.
The discussion on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph towards the bottom. The din is that if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, one is not permitted to cook or to bake on Yontif or Shabbos unless he makes an Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is only needed midirabbanan. The Gemara says himself, and one is permitted to cook on Yontif or Shabbos, whatever the explanation is. Gemara has a machlekes psachim, rabbi v'rab chizde, what the explanation is, but the Gemara makes it clear that on the level of the rice, there's no need for erev tavshilin, it's only needed in the rabban. So the Meila, the Gemara has a shayla over here that runs as follows. What's the din if a person is mechal Shabbos, he turns on a light? A person mechal Shabbos, he cooks some food on Shabbos. If someone is mechal Shabbos, they're sitting on a boat, and the only way to get from the boat to the dry land is you have to build a ramp. Somebody goes and he bangs in nails in the wood and he makes a whole ramp and everybody can walk down the ramp and get off of the boat. So what if somebody was Mechal Shabbos to make this possible? So there's a din, there's a knas with the Rabbanon. It's not a din in a Torah, it's a knas with the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to be nene from a Lecha Shabbos. See, the Gemara has a shaila. If a person turns on the light on Shabbos, he did a Malacha Derais. When the person cooks food, he did a Malacha Derais. When the person makes a ramp, he builds a staircase or whatever, Boina, it's also a Malacha Derais. And Makabat Fadish Boina, the Shaila is him and Atoiro, you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos without an Erev Tavshil. The only for the Erev Tavshil is clearly only with the Rabbanon. So the Shaila is, what if he, not only is only with the Rabbanon, What's the whole idea behind the Erev Tavshil? It should be a zecher. You should remember not to eat up all the food. One opinion. You should remember don't eat up all the food. Remember that you should leave something over for Shabbos. So he should remember not to cook on Yontif for Chol. So strictly speaking, if he cooks on Yontif for Shabbos without an Erev Tavshil, he didn't really do anything wrong. He didn't do an Aver Menatar, didn't do even an Aver Medirabonim. What he did was, he didn't do the zecher. He was supposed to make a takonah derabbanan. He should have made a zecher for something or another. Had to forget him to make the zecher. So he wasn't supposed to cook without the zecher. So the shad is, if he goes ahead and he violates his din derabbanan, he didn't make the tavshil. He goes and he cooks, and he, number one, he didn't violate an isa deraisa. Number two, he didn't even violate a malach in the rabbanan on the level of rabbanan. It's an ishkin malach. It's mutam and atar. It's mutam and the rabbanan. The only thing is, he didn't fulfill the takana de rabbana to make a zecher by setting aside the Erev Tavshil. So that was the Gemara Shaila. What's the din? If he went ahead and he, where's the Shaila here? Four lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom. Before Yeluhu, on Yud Zainam and Al. Before Yeluhu, the Amoraim had a suffix. What if somebody baked? And you dine him an olive and bake, so somebody baked on Yontif for Shabbos without making Erev Tavshilin. Is there a knas in the Rabbanon on that? So the Gemara says Toshma. So they finally quote Toshma. The first raya is Bechlal Nishkimra. The second raya says like this. The second raya said, here, the third line from the top of Yud Zayin Beis Shtei Baita Toshma. It says in the raya like this. If someone forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, he's not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. What about the cook on Yontif for Yontif? That you're allowed to do? Yontif for Yontif, you can cook all you want. So what happens to the cooks on Yontif for Yontif? It happens that a lot is left over. He expected a lot of guests. Expected that the guests that he has, he thought they're going to eat more. Turns out that they didn't eat. So it says, if he has left over, he's permitted to eat. Whatever's left over, he can eat on Shabbos. Ubovad shelo yarim, but he has to be careful not to be a faker. He should only cook on Yontif what he really honestly thinks he's going to use on Yontif. The imherim, here about 8-10 lines from the top, by the tiny letter base. The imherim,
And if he was dishonest about it, he was making believe that he needs everything on Yom Tov, and in his heart he knew he doesn't need so much. So then it says, Asa, he's not allowed to eat the leftover food on Shabbos. It's Shteitach Beferish, that if you cook on Yom Tov and Shabbos without an Eftav Shilin, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, maybe Harom is worse. Maybe if he outright violates the Takana de Rabbanim and he cooks on Yom Tov and Shabbos without an Eftav Shilin, maybe there's no penalty in the Rabbanim. Because if he knows he's doing wrong, someday he'll do truly, Rashi says. But over here, when he puts on an act, he makes believe as if he's a tzaddik, he makes believe he's only cooking on Yom Tov, then it happens that it was left over. So haram is worse than making believe that you're not doing anything wrong. It's worse than outright doing an avir. So the Gemara says, we're not sure what the din is. We're not sure. So then the Gemara says, toshma. Then the Gemara says, another suggestion, no. Maybe that brisa taka holds that it's also b'diyevet, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have to paskin like that brisa. There are different opinions over here regarding hilchas erev tavshilin. Are you very machmer? Are you mekel? Are you very mekel? So maybe there are different versions over here. So maybe that brisa is from the machmirim. You know, in the Mishnah there's machlekes bisham and bisil. Then there are two versions of what the machlekes bisham and bisil is. Are you very machmer, just a little bit machmer, or are you mekel? Maybe that brisa follows Hananya's version of Beis Shammai, that he's very machmir. But maybe we're not mechuyev to paskin all the way so far like Hananya, like Beis Shammai. Maybe we don't paskin like that. So we're not sure what the din is. Halacha l'maaseh, what's the din? A person didn't make an erev tavshilin, and he went and he cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos. So last week when we started this Gemara, we mentioned that the Beis Yosef in Hilchus Yom Tov quotes two Perushim on this Gemara from the Rishonim and the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. They quote the two Perushim. So the one pshat is the way we presented it just now, that the Gemara Shaila only was a very restricted case. He cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos, which is Mutam and Atar and Mutam and the Rabban. It didn't really violate anything except Ertfagesen Tzemach and the Ertav Shil. So he was Mevatel a Mitzvah and the Rabban. He was Mevatel a Mitzvah making Ertav Shil. Ertav Shil supposed to be to remind you to leave over some food for Shabbos, or to remind you not to cook on Yom Tov for Chol. But this per se is not an issue. He didn't really violate an Aveira, even the Rabbanah. He was Mevatel HaMitzvah. So that's the way, that seems to be the Pashim Pshat. If you would ask me, that's the way I would have learned. And the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is like the other Pshat. That was not only was that under doubt, not only was that the question, that a person cooked on Yom Tov for Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shilin, a person cooked on Yom Tov, not for Shabbos. He cooked on Yom Tov for Chol. Mamish, he violated Hilchas Yom Tov. Not a question of Erev Tav Shilin. The penalty that we know mid the Rabban Hamavashel b'Shabbos, if you made a ramp on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go down on it. Or if someone turns on the lights, a Jew turns on, even if a Goy turns on the lights, sometimes you're not allowed to be nene. And if someone cooks food on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that food. All the penalties, maybe that penalty, Midirabbana, that Isser only applies to Mechal Shabbos. Maybe it doesn't apply to Yom Tov. So what? That's the way a whole group of Rishonim learned the Ibaya. And it's going to remain on Ibaya the Leif Shita. The Gemara never proves it one way or the other. So the whole issue is only Midirabbana. So we say in Ibaya the Leif Shita, Speka the Rabbana Lukula, so we're Mekel. So what exactly are we Mekel over here? So the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel Lagamri, Mekel Lagansin. That the penalty on Hamavashal Bishab has been mazed, Lo Yoichal, and Hamadlikas Haner Bishab is not allowed to read, right? No, it doesn't apply on Yom Tov. If he turned on the lights on Yom Tov, he did some other Moloch on Yom Tov, you are permitted to be Nenefron.
Even the person who did it himself.
Even you did it be mazed, there's no Knas, that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. And then other Mepharshim say, well, wait a minute, the Mishkan and Siyankah has all Tshuva. He says he thinks that the other Rishonim are right. The Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat, the Gemara is not like that. Pashup Shat means, not he was Mavashal, he did a Malach on Yom. Did a Malach on Yom, the same as doing Malach on Shabbos. No, he cooked on Yom for Shabbos without an Erev Tavshilin. So he was Mavatul a Mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin, but he didn't really do an Aveira. But if he does an Aveira on Yom, so the Mishkan is Yankiv thinks we ought to pass them like the other Rishonim, that the Ibaya was only in a restricted case.
Could it be that the difficulty understanding because the Yudin name of Erev Tavshilin, the Erev Tavshilin that we talk about is merely a memory, is a symbol, is whatever it is. Deichakim. However, the other Erevim that we do, Erev Chatzeros, the Erev Tchumim, They are totally different. They have a very, very strong chumrus. They do not. So therefore, because we use the name of Erev Tavshilin, if we would give the Erev Tavshilin a different name, Tbilet Tavshilin, whatever you want to call it, they would have difficulty understanding it.
Okay. Good. It's a good point. It's a good point. Okay. So that's what we left off so far. So now we have to see from the rest of the Gemara how does it sound. It's a problem. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara now goes Toshma. It's about 15 lines from the top, and it says Tanan in parentheses.
Hamasa,
this is a Mishnah in Trumas, it says. On Shabbos and Yontif, there's an Issa de Rabbanon against being Mafresh Trumas and Mises. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, where you can't eat anything that grows, any fruits or vegetables or grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat it before you Mafresh Trumas and Mises. In Chutz Loris, there's no Trumas and Mises, but we have our Afroshes Chala. So the Gemara said earlier in the first paragraph, you're not allowed to be Mafresh Chala on Shabbos and Yontif. Let's say I have bread or cake or cookies that they weren't Mafresh Chala, so you're not allowed to be Mafresh Chala on Shabbos and Yontif. If you needed it on Yom Tov, then the Gemara said you're allowed to be mafresh lechal on Yom Tov. That's right. Yeah. See, I always visualize I buy from a bakery where they're strictly kosher, but they're not so medactic on afroshes chala. A lot of the different bakeries, everything is kosher, but they think you only have to be mafresh chala on bread. They don't know you have to be mafresh chala on cake and cookies also.
Don't have to burn it.
Can't burn it. You have to wait till after Yom Tov to burn it. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes this Mishnah. One is not permitted to be mafresh trumas and maisvis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What if the person has tevel and he goes ahead and he violates this Issa de Rabbanon and he is mafresh the trumas and maisvis on Shabbos? Is he only violated in Issa de Rabbanon? Do we have the penalty like Hamavashel b'Shabbos? If the person cooks on Shabbos, turns on the lights on Shabbos, he violated the Naveir de Raisa. What if he's only Mafresh Trumas Maris? He only violated the Naveir de Rabbanon. Do you have a penalty or not? So the Mishnah says, yes, you do have a penalty. Hamaase pe Raisa b'Shabbos.
Trumas Maris may be the Rabbanon altogether.
It's a double the Rabbanon. You need a whole Trumas Maris. To begin with, there's only the Rabbanon.
Right.
And even if it would have been an Issa, and even if it would have been Trumas Maris is the Raisa, the prohibition against being Mafresh Trumas Maris itself is only with the Rabbanon. So it's the whole thing is a Rabbanon on top of a Rabbanon. And nonetheless, there is a penalty that if you went ahead and you violated this Issa the Rabbanon on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Nanish, they'd be perish. So the Gemara is bringing a Raisa. He only violated a light Issa the Rabbanon. A light the Rabbanon, and still there's the penalty. So it should be the same thing over here with a fellow cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos without an Erev Tavshil. There should also be a penalty. That's the Raya. Toshma, Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, they want to bring a Raya. Toshma, Amasa Peiros, Bishabbos, Bishoygeg, Yechel, Bemezid, Lo Yechel. This Tana holds that the penalty was only made if you did the Aver Bemezid. If you violated the Aver Bishoygeg, there's no penalty. That's a Machlekes from Meir Rav Yudin. The Gemara has a long Sugi in Gittin and Perak HaNizokin. Do you say konsu shogi got to mezer, or do you say lo konsu shogi got to mezer? The Chachamim are sometimes interested in introducing penalties, make a knas for the person who violated Naver. So they're really only interested in making a knas if the person violated Naver be mezer. If I'm the Naver be shogi, what do we want to penalize him? But he may be a wise guy, he may be a baker, he may make believe that he's doing it be shogi, and he's really doing it be mezer. So that's why half of the Tanoim had a policy. The concert show you got to make it. You have to penalize the person even if he did the Aver B'Shogeg. Maybe it's not so much shaking. Maybe just put on an act. So that's a long machlekes hatanaim in many, many, many cases. So 15 cases at least. And Yerudea comes in, Eimavatle B'Shogeg, many different cases. So here this Tan and this Mishnah distinguishes. If he did it, the Mezid, lo yoichol, he's not allowed to eat the fruits of the vegetable. If he did it B'Shogeg, then there's no penalty. So you see the Feirish that we do introduce a penalty. If he did the Aver de Rabbana Mezrit, we do introduce a penalty despite the fact that he only violated the Nisa de Rabbana. So maybe this penalty should apply also to one who cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos, which is also only Nisa de Rabbana, if he didn't have Nev Tavshil. So So the Gemara suggests maybe loy tzricha disle pei rachmina. The Gemara polishes up. The Gemara says maybe the penalty in the Mishnah and Shulman that you're not allowed to eat the fruits of the bed maybe means like this. He really has enough food for Shabbos. He's gonna be full from the food that he has. He was mafish trumas and maisis. He's gonna have an extra couple of bananas, an extra couple of oranges. So we slap him on the wrist. We say, don't eat the extra bananas. It's not such a major penalty. We say, don't eat this. You have enough to eat without this, so don't have the dessert. Let's say he had cake and cookies and everything. He's mafish chalik. And we say, don't eat the cake and the cookies. He has a ton of food anyway. But here we're asking him more. Here we're asking Ashayla. He has no food on Shabbos. Right. The only food he's going to have to eat on Shabbos is when he cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos. If you're going to make a penalty that he's not allowed to eat it, he'll be left with nothing. So that's the shot that we go so far. Maybe what it says in the Mishnah and Truman is that there is a penalty, even though he only violated a light Issa the Rabbanon. It's a double the Rabbanon. The whole Trumas and Maisis to begin with is only the Rabbanon, and the Issa to be Marfish on Shabbos. Yom Tov is only the Rabbanon. Maybe it's only a light penalty if Islay Pei Rachina. But maybe if Leisle Pei Rachina, maybe then you don't make any penalty, so you can't tell. So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring another rife. And the same Mishnah in Trumas mentions another din. It's also with the Rabbanon.
Hard distinction, because all of us have to measure, does he have enough, or is this dessert, is this necessary?
The Sata de Berech HaLashiur. Yeah, usually the Gemara doesn't like that right. Kind of a din. You have such a vague din. To leave a din so vague that it depends if you're very hungry, so then it's mutter. If you're not too hungry, then it's also. So it's unusual, yeah. It's a shvach etchiyah. It's a shvach etchiyah what the Gemara is making. Yeah. The Gemara just says, we can't tell if you can prove from that Mishnah or not. So the Gemara brings the next half of the Mishnah and says, Hamatvul Kalev b'Shabbos, a person, let's say, has Kalev that are tomei. He has pots and pans and plates and spoons and forks and knives and glass, everything is tummy. So, and he doesn't want the food that he's eating to become tummy. Let's say he's eating truma. If the truma becomes tummy, he's not allowed to eat it. Let's say he's eating chulin. But if the chulin becomes tummy, he's allowed to eat chulin, that's tummy, but then he will become tummy. There's a din with the rabbanan. If a person, that's called tumas hagviya. If a person eats oichlim tmeim, or he drinks mashkim tmeim, so he becomes tummy. The level of the rice, it doesn't exist. There is no such thing. Person eats tummy dick of food, he drinks tummy dick of beverages, it doesn't make him tummy. It can't be. And Adam is only Mikabal Tumah. Adam Mikalim is only Mikabal Tumah from an Avhat Tumah. And an Urchlam Mashkin can never be an Avhat Tumah by definition. Because we have a cloud, the Gemara Balez Daf and Erevin has a cloud. Called Dovishain La Tarabin Mikveh, Eno Nasa Avhat Tumah. The only thing that has Tarabin Mikveh is Adam Mikalim. The only four things in the whole wide world are Mikabal Tumah. Adam Mikalim, Urchlam Mashkin. Only four things. So Adam the Kalim have Tarab and Mikveh. Adam the Mashkim don't have any Tarab and Mikveh. Once it's tummy, it's tummy. You can't be Tarab and Mikveh. The one exception to the rule, Rashi writes, is water. If water became tummy and you make Hashoke, let's say I have a cup full of water that's tummy. If I take the whole cup and I lower it into the Mikveh in such a way that the water is connected, the water in the cup is connected a little bit with the water in the Mikveh, then I take it out, so all the water just became Tohar. So Rashi says, and don't make a mistake. Rashi always writes this. Whenever the topic comes up, Rashi chazes over this. And don't make a mistake to think that water has tarab and mikveh. No ochlam mashkim have tarab. It's a different din. It's a din of zriya. Let's say I take a potato, and the potato is mekabel tuma. I want to be metairit. So how do you metairit a potato? So the Gemara says, m'sochem, on daf lamadal. And Rashi writes, m'sochem, if you plant a potato in the ground, then it'll start taking root. Once it takes root, zriya, so it's mechubal karka. How can it be? Whatever is mechubal karka is not mekabel tumah. And even if he was tummy beforehand, and you're mechaber karka, the tumah disappears. So Rashi says, there's a pasuk in Navi that says, "Zarei amayim al panei chutzos." So the Gemara points out, the lashon pasuk speaks about water. If you pour water into a puddle, into a mikveh, it's considered as if you were zareya, as if it's mechubal karka. It's not really. The din about mechubal karka, mechubal versus tolish, it's not really mechubal. But the lashon tanach in biblical Hebrew, it's referred to as zriya. So that's what Rashi always writes. You shouldn't make a mistake and think that water has tarab and mikveh. No, oichlam and mashkim have no tarab and mikveh, and that's why oichlam and mashkim can never become an avatumah. Because kol davish ein lo tarab and mikveh, ein onas avatumah. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. So water is a different thing. It's a din of hashok is zriya. It's a different halacha. It's considered as if I planted the water, as if it's growing from the ground, and that's why the tumah is removed.
So on the level of the Raisa, this is impossible. That lechem mamashkim that I swallow and it makes me tame, the whole concept doesn't exist on the level of the Raisa. The whole thing is a chumer midrabbanon, tumas agvir. But it was a very old din derabbanon. It was a very old gemara in the first perek in Shabbos. It's off the Yutches Dover. Towards the end of the period of the Baisheni, there were many machlekes and bishamai gisils. On one day, the bishamai were in the majority, which was unusual. The bishamai were usually in the minority because they were so bright, they were so sharp. You can't have so many geniuses around. So one day, the Beisilu must have been Yortzeit and Shir or something. There was nobody there from the Beisilu. So the Beishamai saw that they were in the majority, so they ran through like in Congress. They ran through eight things there in one day, because the Beishamai was the Roy. Very strange story. So one of the Xeris was about Tumas Hagviyah, that if you eat Tomidika food or you drink Tomidika beverages, it makes you Tomid. More Pek Takasha. This was introduced in the days of the end of the period of the Beisham Beisilu. Isn't it a din deraisa? They say it's ancient, it's a din deraisa. And Mar says, no, it's not a din deraisa. Part of it was instituted in the Rabbanon in a much earlier generation, a few centuries earlier. And then in the days of the Baisham and the Beisilu, right before the Churban Baisheni. Hillel and Shammai lived 100 years before the Churban Baisheni. So the Baisham and the Beisilu, that was later. After Hillel and Shammai died, so the Talmidim made big yeshivas. That was later, that was before the Churban Baisheni. Baisheni was quite in the year 70. And they themselves lived 100 years before the Churban Abayis. So late, towards the end of the period of the Baisheni, a few years before the Churban Abayis, they added on to the earlier Gzeira Derabbanan. But Tosfos points out it was such a Gzeira Keduma, Tumas Agdi was such a Gzeira Keduma, to the extent the Amoraim thought that it was a Din Deraisa. And then they come to the realization, it's impossible, it can't be a Din Deraisa. How can it be that Echlem Amashkim Ametame and Odom. It's Echlem Amashkim never an Avatume. And Odom and Kalim, in order to be Mekabotume, have to be Mekabotume only from Avatume or higher. Avi Avois, either an Av or Avi Avois. Can't be Mekabotume for anything lower than an Avatume. So that's what we're talking about here. So the person has forks and knives, glasses, plates, whatever that are Tome. And he wants to be toivel them in a mikveh to remove the Tume, either because he wants to eat Truma. And if he's going to put the truma in the Talmudic account, the truma will become nitma, they won't be allowed to eat it. Or because he wants to eat chulin, but there's no avera to eat chulin that a tame, but you'll suffer the consequence if you eat or you drink chulin beverages or foods that a tame. It'll make you tame, so you'll have a problem. You don't want to be tame. So he wants to be table the kevim. So there's a din mit derabbanan, that's a nisa derabbanan, the sakin mana. That's going to be the next mishnah on our daf, the final mishnah. That you're not allowed to be table kelim tameim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what's the din if a person went ahead and he violated this Issa Derabbanan? Amat bo keila b'Shabbos. What if he violated the Issa Derabbanan? So if he did it b'shogeg, there's no penalty. Yishtamesh b'ah. Because lo kom to shogeg b'mezid. They didn't penalize him if he violated the Aveir b'shogeg. But if he did it b'mezid, then there is a penalty. And the din is lo yishtamesh for him. He's not allowed to use the kelim that he was tevel b'issa on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what do you see? What is Mar trying to bring out? You see that they introduced a penalty for the one who violated the Din Derabbanan. Even though he only violated the Din Derabbanan, he didn't violate an Aveira Deraisa. Maybe over here also, if he violated the Din Derabbanan by cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shem, only an Aveira Derabbanan, maybe we should make a penalty. Maybe yeah, maybe not. It's still not a riot. Because the one who, like we pointed out, the one who cooks on Yom Tov for Shabbos didn't even violate an Aveir Derabbanan. It's just what? He didn't fulfill the mitzvah Derabbanan. He didn't make the Erev Tavshil. Takana. He didn't fulfill the Takana Derabbanan. He didn't violate an Aveir Derabbanan. It's still not the same. So the Gemara says, Toshma, is it a Raya? So the Gemara says, no, maybe the same suggestion as before. Maybe when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to use those spoons and forks, maybe it's talking, the guy serving this, his wife is serving such a fancy meal, she has three forks and a big spoon and two little spoons and another spoon. So many spoons and forks and I. So they say, I have one fork less. They live with one fork. He has more than enough kelim anyway. Yeah, one for the meat, one for the fish, one for the chicken, one for the dessert. So you might say, maybe the penalty is, if he can live without it anyway, but we're talking over here. He cooks the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, he has no other food. So did they still make a penalty with the Rabbanon even here to tell him, don't eat anything on Shabbos, go and fight yourself out to the neighbors?
You're not allowed to eat anything you need, even though you have nothing else to eat. That's what the Gemara suggests. Leit Tzricha, maybe that Mishnah goes in the case. The Islay, money achrina. The man has other kelim. Money means kelim. He has other kelim. It's not really necessary to use these kelim. But maybe back if he doesn't have any other kelim, maybe there wouldn't be any penalty for the Rabbanim to the Eved that he's not allowed to use inami, or even if he does, Tak doesn't have any other kelim, Hemshib Shaila, he can go to the next neighbor. Bar, they have extra forks and knives that are not coming. So borrow from the neighbors. But we're asking, what if he cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos and he has nobody to get any food from? He's embarrassed. He's embarrassed to go ask the neighbors for food. Do you say the penalty to the Rabbanim even in such a case? So we're not sure what the din is. So the Gemara finally quotes the list right. Toshma, listen to this right. It says, right to the same Mishnah in Trumas, Amavashal b'Shabbos, b'Shegi Gechel b'Meizid lo yaychal. So isn't that a raya? So the Gemara said, no, it's not a raya. This we knew in the very beginning. We know that if you cook, that was the whole premise of the Yibayah. If you cook on Shabbos, you violate another deraisa, and that we know. Our shaila is Isur de Shabbos shiny. Maybe Shabbos is different. So that's the shaila. What? Why is Isur de Shabbos shiny? What does it mean? So Rashi writes over here Isur de Shabbos, Bishul Shabbos. The Mishnah goes on Mavashal de Shabbos. One who cooks on Shabbos, Liabas Malachasu. This is Kilahu. Hilkar. Therefore, Konsuha Rabbanon Lemezit. They penalize it. Abo, but if a person cooks without an erev tavshilin, Avolava v'yofa b'yontif l'shabbis, Yisur de Rabbanu hu b'yofa, only violated in Yisur de Rabbanu. So Pasha Pshat and Rashi, sounds like he's talking, he cooked on yontif to Shabbos, not he cooked on yontif. From the two Pshatim that the Rishonim have, that the Beisayasim quoted, the Pasha Pshat and the whole Gemara is the way the Mishkan is Yankin time, the way the Beisayasim quoted the other Rishon. Beisayasim doesn't pass him like that, but he quoted another Rishon to learn. The whole Gemara only goes, he cooked on Yontif the Shabbos without making an Erev Tavshin. So he didn't even do it on Malachim of the Rabbani, just he was Mevatel at Takona of Erev Tavshilin. Yeah. And the other Rishonim said, so it's very unclear in the whole Gemara. What was the suffix? The suffix was because he was Mevatel at Takona of Erev Tavshilin, or the suffix was whether the penalty applies to Yontif? The Mechaber quotes that the penalty doesn't apply to Yontif. Doesn't go yontif to Shabbos. If a person did a malacha on yontif, he made a plank in order to get off of the boat. So the penalty doesn't apply on yontif. The penalty only applies on Shabbos. It's in the Bible of Shita, so he paskin lekula. Doesn't apply to yontif. Yeah.
No, make a plank in that abuna.
It's a malacha deraisa. You see, Rashi says deraisa versus the rabbanon. So the Shulchan Aruch paskin is against Rashi, even if he does an outright malacha gmura deraisa. The penalty is only on Shabbos. Shabbos is more chomer than Yontif. The Gemara Zibai was that the penalty goes on Yontif. The answer we don't know, so we go the kula.
It's only Bishul, because Bishul on Yontif. According to us, we're showing that there's no.
It's only the Rabbanon.
Yeah.
One could have said like that, but I think it's Shulchan Aruch. I think they don't pass like that. Rashi. They say, yeah, Rashi says, yeah, Rashi says only only the Rabbanon. Yeah. That goes on what you're not allowed to do. What you are allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Yeah, it doesn't go on the knaf. It doesn't go on the knaf. That's a dikansa gemara. Okay. One tana sounds like a bechem anuri. Sounds like you hold that it's a din deraisa. Then on the vashal b'shabbos, it's a din deraisa. You're not allowed to be nene. So the gemara learns. The gemara suggests according to that tana, maybe it's a din deraisa based on the pasuk. Shmartem as Hashabbos ki koydish ilachem. Ma koydish osabano. Af ma'is Hashabbos osabano. So according to that tana, sounds perhaps as if it's a din deraisa based on the pasuk that Shabbos is koydish. Not on Yontif. Maybe on Yontif, isn't it?
Yeah.
Special din only on Shabbos. The thing is that we don't pass like that time. We pass for sure that Ma'aseh Shabbos is only the Rabbanim. And the Vashel of Shabbos La Yechel is only a penalty to the Rabbanim. He's Surah the Rabbanim, yeah. Right, that's how we... Right. He can't say all the Rabbanis, because the Mishnah, the very same Mishnah in Trumas, talks Hamas, the Peiroisa B'Shabes, Hamat Bol Kela B'Shabbos. These are all the Rabbanans. So what does Rashi say? Surah D'Shabbos Shani, because it's their ice. I mean, if he violated an Issa D'Raisa, we absolutely prohibit you from getting Hano, even if you got to starve. You have no other food to eat? Sorry, fast. But if you violated a Din D'Rabbanan, like Hamafresh Maisus B'Shabbos, Hamat Bol Kela B'Shabbos, so maybe the penalty only applies if it's not such a, not so serious. Only if Islay Peir Achrina. If Islay Mon Achrina, if he has other kale. The more things, everything hanging. That's to encourage people to cook on Yom Tov things that are mutter to cook. Yeah.
And also to claim like things what you don't need to afraid that the person who set the animal is back in the kitchen is back in the kitchen. A lot of food sort of things.
Right. Okay. That's one consideration. And then we have another consideration that if he did the Yisr, do we penalize him or not? Okay. That's the Gemara. It's very unclear. Exactly what was the Gemara's topic is unclear. The Raisa de Rabbanan, Yom Tov Shabbos, they're only Eftav Shilin. Many different ways to learn. And the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel B'Dieved on everything. Even if he did and he said the Raisa on Yom Tov, there's no penalty B'Dieved. Okay. Now the Gemara continues back on the theme of Eftav Shilin. The Mishnah presented a Machlokes B'Shamei B'Silo. How much do you have to put away for the tafshilin? So the Mishnah says, Beishamai require Shnei tafshilin. Shnei tafshilin always represents a Suda Hashuva. Like we mentioned on Erev Tisha B'Av, after Hatzais, you're not allowed to have Shnei tafshilin, two cooked machol. But Beishamai say that when you prepare in advance, on Erev Yom Tov, you're preparing in advance for Shabbos, you have to set aside Shnei tafshilin, a two course meal, to demonstrate that you're ready to beginning to prepare for Shabbos from before. You still say, the meal on Shabbos should have Shnei Tavshil. But the Erev Tavshil doesn't have to have Shnei Tavshil. One Tavshil is good enough. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And now the Gemara says, the version that appears in the Mishnah is not agreed upon by everybody. The Gemara says, Masnisin, the version that appears in the Mishnah is Deloiki Haitan. It's not the way it says in the following Brisa of the Tanya, it says in the Tosefta, that both Beisham and Bisil agree that you do need Shnei Tavshil. They only argue what's the din if you cook dagu beitza sholem. Sometimes the balabasta fries, she has a raw piece of fish and she has raw eggs, so she puts in a frying pan the raw fish, she cracks open the eggs and she cooks both together, the fish with the eggs, dagu beitza sholem. So the brisa that the Sefti quotes from Shimon Alonso, that's a machlokes Beisham and Bisil. But the dag of beit shol of two macholim, which really could have been cooked separately, but you cook them together because they blend in together, eat them together. So is that considered two tavshil, or is that considered one tavshil? But they both agree, Bisham and Bisil both agree that in principle you need shnei tavshil. They argue as shnei tavshil. But let's say you would cook the dag separately and the beit separately, and then you mix them together. Then everybody would agree, that's shnei tavshilin. That's shnei tavshilin. And Erev Tisha B'Av says, you're not allowed to have shnei tavshilin by the Suda Mafsekes. So our minig is that we don't need anything like shnei tavshilin. You eat a hot boiled egg, and you dip it in ashes and shite, that's all. But strictly speaking, it says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to have any tavshil, but you shouldn't have shnei tavshilin. So in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloek, what about dagu beitza sholem? The same what the Gemara says here, it's a machloek is satanoin for Erev Tavshilin. It's called Shnei Tavshilin, so Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, it's a machloek. So they say like this, let's say if you cook potatoes separately, and you cook fish separately, and then you mix together, you have a salad that makes fish, or you cook chicken separately, and you have French fries separately, then you mix them together, that's Shnei Tavshilin, because each one was cooked separately. If you cooked it together, dag beit shalom, then it's a machlekes and shulchan aruch. So that's what this brisa says. If you cook separately, you mix it together, it is shnei tavshilin. The shav in this, they all agree. Shintir per beitza. If you cook the beitza separately, and you cook the dag separately, then you mix it together, is alaz ani maskin shehei shnei tavshilin. Everybody knows it is shnei tavshilin. The machlekes only is if you cooked it together, dag beit shalom.
So the question now is, well, we have two versions of the machlokes b'sham b'sur. The way it says in the Mishnah, b'sumel say you only need one tafshir. The way it says in the Braisa, b'sumel also agree with b'sham that you need shnei tafshilim. They just argue about davu beitzah shalo. So the b'sumel lamekel, that counts, that's oil for shnei tafshilim. If you cook separately, everybody. Right. Do they have to be cooked separately? Or even if they're cooked together, it's also called Shnei Tavshilim. Exactly. So the question is, we know that we're going to paskin like the Beisulul against the Beishamai. We always paskin like the Beisulul against Beishamai, with a few exceptions. Those 18 Zeris, those are 18 exceptions. And then Taisus writes in Sukkot Daf Gimel, there are another 6. So it's 18 and 6, that's all. So we know we're going to paskin like the Beisulul. The question is, which version of Beisulul? Should we paskin like the Beisulul as it appears in the Mishnah, that all you need is Tavshil Efet Be'er Tavshilim? Or should we paskin like the version that appears in the Tosefta? So the Gemara quotes, Omar Rove, Rove paskin, Hilchus HaKitar Didan, Balibet Beisil. We paskin like the biggest cooler, like the Beisil Shita as it appears in our Mishnah, not as it appears in the Tosefta. The Tavshil Echad is enough. All you need is Tavshil Echad. And then the long Taisis over here presents the Machlekes the Rabbein Tam in the Gansavel. The Rabbein Tam says, the Gemara came to the conclusion, all you need is Tavshil Echad. You cook the piece of gefilte fish for Shabbos, or you cook the roast for Shabbos, or you cook the kugel or something for Shabbos, that's enough. Erev Tavshilin, he said, that's enough before you plan to do is cook. You're going to cook soup, and you're going to cook more fish, and more chicken, and cook, and cook, and cook. What if you plan to bake challahs, or bake cookies, bake amazayin or something? Alechem, amazayin, said the Rabbi Natam says, oh, that's a different story. If you plan to bake flesh or bake fish, that's also cooking. Macholim, all you need is one tavshil. But if you plan to bake a mezainis or hamaitzi, that kind of baking, then you need pots for that. Where does he get such an einfal? Because that's what it says in the Gemara on the first daf in Tezvav on the base. In the 10th line from the wide lines, Omer of Lazar, Einofen el ala ofri, ve mevashen el ala mevushol. The Gemara in the first daf in the Perek that talks about Erev Tavshil, the Gemara quotes right away Rabbi Loza, the Tana, Abraisa. Rabbi Loza's a Tana, and he says if you want to bake chalas, you want to bake cake and cookies, you have to make an Erev Tavshil with gebak tezach. You have to set aside something that was baked, a chalas. A matzah, you put away a matzah in a hard-boiled egg. So the matzah, you put away in case you want to bake something. A hard-boiled egg, you put away in case you want to cook something. That's the Rabbi Natam's Chiddush. That's what it says in Gemara of Loza. And then Tosis says that nobody agrees with the Rabbi Natam. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says Hilchus, so all you need is one tafshil. But Rabbi Blazer and the first daf says what the Rabbi Natam said. They said we don't pass him like Rabbi Blazer. Rabbi Blazer Shamut. Rabbi Blazer was from the Beis Shammai. And the Yerushalmi says the Pharisees that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with this Rabbi Blazer, like Rabbi Yeshua usually disagrees with all the famous Rabbi Blazer's opinion. The Bavli never quotes that anybody disagrees. That's what misled the Rabbi Natam to believe. The Gemara quoted Rabbi Blazer, so Rabbi Blazer, that's the din. So the Rish says, no, the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes the Pharish that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Blazer. Other Rabbi Kaim along to Rabbi Yeshua, the Gabi Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Blazer Shamute, Rabbi Yeshua Palagalei Yerushalmi, towards the end of the Taisus. They say, we don't pass him like this, Rabbi Blazer. So even though nobody agrees with the Rabbi Natam, the last two lines, they write in the Komokom, even though nobody agrees with the Rabbi Natam, the Rish was the nephew of the Rabbi Natam. He didn't have the heart. Lover of Divrei Doidi. Halacha l'maisa, he didn't want to. He said he holds his uncle Rabbi Natan as well. He says he was afraid to violate the shita. So he used to the tzorach netav shilim. So he says, Halacha l'maisa, he says we better do like the Rabbi Natan. Put away a hard boiled egg and a matzah. And that's the minig. The minig is that everybody does like the Rabbi Natan. But the Mishnah Brura adds on, the meaning is that you have a hard-boiled egg with a matzah if you plan to bake something. But most balabusters don't bake cakes and cookies and matzahs and challahs.
Yeah,
if you absolutely, let's say a woman, she never bakes challahs, she never bakes cakes and cookies, she's not going to bake anything on Yom Kippur. Once on a Yom Kippur, she bakes in the weekdays. Not going to bake on Yom Kippur. Then she doesn't need the challah, the matzah. All she needs is the tavshil. Okay.
Maybe in the first time they did bake.
Yeah, yeah. They had no bakery. They didn't go to the store on the corner and buy.
But we say the Erev more than that. We say not only La Meshula, La Lupanera,
the carry,
everything.
Right.
How does that get so far? Just like if Rabbi Natan says you need a special agent for baking, you should do something for like Bukishlaya for caring also, something to
That we don't, that we're not worried about.
You don't do anything.
No, no. That we're not worried about.
But how's that Erev Mati to carry and to Lakupaneos? What symbol, what do we need that for?
The Erev Tavshil. The Tavshil alone is good to be out there. I mean, you don't need a separate thing.
But why do you have to mention it?
Whatever malacha you want to do on Yom Tov Shabbos, you need an Erev Tavshil. If you don't make the Erev Tavshil, we wouldn't allow you to carry, carry to the sukkah.
Right.
He wants to carry on Yom Tov Shabbos into the sukkah to be able to eat. So if he wouldn't make the Erev Tavshil, we wouldn't allow him to carry.
I would like to light the candle either.
Light the candle, that's a shaila nigmar later. Would you allow him, if he didn't make an Erev Tavshil, would you allow him to light the candle or not? So for the two basic candles, that's a shaila nigmar. For the extra candles, a lot of women light more than two candles. They light a lot of candles. So to light the extra candles, that for sure you need an Erev Tavshil. But to light the basic one or two candles that are the basic candles for that, there's a shayla later. Do you really need an Erev Tavshil for that? Is a muta with that. And the Gemara just concludes the din is if nechal ha'erev, let's say a person made an Erev Tavshil and then in the middle of Yom Tov it was eaten up. Somebody ate it up. The dog ate up the Erev Tavshil. Some people have dogs in them. So let's say the dog ate that Erev Tavshil. So what do you do? So from the minute that it's eaten up, so you're not allowed to do any more preparation. So the shayla is like this. The balabas is in the middle of making chalas for Shabbos. So she needed the chalas, and then the dog ate up the Erev Tavshil. Somebody ate it up by mistake. Somebody ate up the Erev Tavshil. So they stopped. So they needed the chalas, and they leave it like that. So what do you do? So what are they asking? The next line in the Gemara. Amar Abaye Naktinan. We have a tradition. Naktinan, we have a tradition. If the person is in the middle of kneading the dough and then the Erev disappears, so the din is, committed to finish the kneading and baking. This you're allowed to finish. You're not allowed to do any more. How come? Okay. What? No, only this thing that you began with. If what happened?
She has lit the stove already for the soup and chicken, and all the air got lost.
Whatever Michael did again, whatever you began, you're allowed to finish, but you're not allowed to start a new Michael. You're allowed to finish all the malachas on that Michael. That's the Gemara. The Gemara is going to come back to later to more details of Erev Tavshil. Now the Mishnah goes on a side topic. There is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. The Gemara just mentioned that the Gemara quoted it from the Mishnayos and Trumas that one is not permitted to be Tovel Kelim that a Tomei on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan that is Mesakin Manah. Al Pi Pashtus, Mesakin Manah. So now the Mishnah quotes that's a Machloikis B'Shameh B'Silel, the details of this Gzeira D'Rabbanan. For sure, it's not an issa deraisa to be toivel. It's only an issa derabbanan. On the level of deraisa, there's no malacha. If a person is tummy, the keli is tummy toivel, and the mikvah is not in violation of any malacha deraisa. It's some kind of an issa derabbanan. The pashup shot is that it's misakin manan. But the Gemara is going to give a whole discussion. What's wrong? We'll see in a minute. So the Mishnah says chalias achar haShabbos. This maseches is maseches yomtiv. 7 days is called maseches yomtiv. If Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, we learn out from a pasuk. Rashi explains. We learn from a pasuk here. Rashi quotes from Vayikra Yud Aleph. The Chumash lists off all the things that are metame. Let's say if you shech the beimah properly, So the shechita number one makes it that it's muta b'achila, it's not nevela. Number two makes it that it doesn't have tumas nevela. Let's say if you go to the A&P and they sell meat over there that's not geshachna, so number one, it's an isa to eat it, it's nevela. Number two, if you pick up the package, even though you don't touch the food, it's all wrapped in cellophane wrapping, if you pick it up, it's metame, even though there's no maga, but it's masa. And a nivelat beim is metame b'magra or b'masa, one or the other, is metame b'masa. Let's say if you have a dead mouse, a mouse is one of the shemana shratzim ha'amura matara nachva, a dead mouse is only metame b'magra, it's not metame b'masa. As long as you don't touch the dead mouse itself, even if you pick up the gloves and you carry it in a bag, whatever, masa, it's not metame. But the meat in the A&P is even metame b'masa, even if you don't, even though it's wrapped over and you don't touch it at all. Masa. If you picked it up, you cause it to move, that's masa. So the pasuk says, if you touch any of these shmaina shrotzim that are dead, or you touch niblos behem, tmeya niblos behem, toira, all these things, it's metame. And then it says, and you should be careful, ubi nivlosan loisi go. You're not allowed to touch the dead body. You're not allowed to touch a dead body. You're allowed to touch gezun tehek. It's also bitame. Maybe it goes on a koyin. Koyin is not allowed to touch. Not true. Koyin is not allowed to touch a mace. And nivlos beima, the koyin is permitted to touch. And what does the pasuk mean? Ubi nivlosan loisi go. Doesn't even kohanim are permitted to touch it. Zog the gemara goes b'sholosh regalim. On Shalosh Regalim, there's a din you have to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a din, Chayvadim, Latai, Ratzmo, Baregel. So the Pashup Shad, the Shagas I write, so the Pashup Shad is, Chayvadim, Latai, Ratzmo, Baregel. On Shalosh Regalim, there's a Chiyav, Aliyah, Laregel, you have to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So Fashtetzach, you have to make yourself Tohar in order to enter the Beis HaMikdash. If you'll be Tummy, you won't be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. But what about Bizman HaZeh? That no one's entering the Beis HaMikdash. And what should I have to say, Chayvadim, Latai, Ratzmo, Baregel? It doesn't apply to Zmanazah. That's what the Shagasari time is. He says, if you look in the Rambam, on that Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, on Dav Tezayin, the Rambam quotes that din, Chai Baram Taratzma Baregel, in one halacha, together with the din of Aliyah LeRegel. He says, in order to enter the Azar, on Sholosh Regalim, it doesn't apply Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyuv Aliyah LeRegel. It doesn't apply to Zmanazah, because no one is entering the Beis HaMikdash. And other Rishayim in the end of Yuma, the Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes, other Rishayim seem to hold otherwise, they hold Chai Varam Atah, other Rishayim, I'm saying. I'm treating the Shagasari as if he's a Rishayim. The Shagasari Gaholchnath, he disagrees with Rishayim. He acts like a Rishayim, he talks like a Rishayim. So he's disagreeing with the Rosh in the end of Yuma. The Rosh quotes Rishayim in the end of Yuma, Chai Varam Atah, Ratzma Regel still applies to Zman HaZeh. It's not a function of Aliyah LeRegel, it applies even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In order to experience the fullness of the Kedushas HaYomot Yantiv, so you have to go to Mikveh. If a person is Tomei, so he won't be able to absorb the maximum that he could have, he won't be able to squeeze out as much as possible from the Kedushas HaYom. If he goes to Mikveh in advance, then he'll be able to get more. That's a shaila. What about on Shabbos? What about on Shabbos? You don't have to go to the Mikveh. So some Rabbi Yosef Engel, I think, talk on this daf in the Gilyoni HaShas, quotes that some say I'll pick up all of that the Kedushas HaShabbos is so powerful it'll get you even if you didn't go to the mikveh. You'll be able to absorb the Kedushas HaShabbos even if you didn't go to the mikveh. So he has a psarai from a gemara later that it's not so, that if a person goes to mikveh on Erev Shabbos he will absorb more of Kedushas HaShabbos than otherwise. It's not that you can't just say like that that Kedushas HaShabbos is so much more powerful than Yom. So this is a shaila, what's the nature of the din of Chai Varam Tarat Smubarek? Is it the way the Shagasai says, the Pashup Shad based on the Rambam? It's a function of the din of Aliyah LeRegel. If you'll be Tommy, you won't be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So